Thank you for joining us for Sermons on Demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. We provide these videos as a way to share the pulpit messages and teachings offered at Friendship Grace Brethren Church. If you find these videos a helpful resource, please drop us a note at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com. Now open your Bibles and get ready to dig into the Word of God.
Okay, before we get carried away here, let's pray. Father, thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for loving us, calling us to be your children. Lord, we know you're in control of everything, and right now you've got a storm stirred up off of our coast, and we feel the effects of it right now, and some folks later today up in the north part of Florida are going to feel it even greater, and we just pray for them. Protect them and watch over them, and we know that you even have the power to unspin the storm and make it dissipate and go away. Father, we're always amazed at your power and your abilities and your love. Despite bringing the storms, you still love us. So thank you for all that you do for us. Give us a great time this morning as we study your word, as we fellowship, and as we sing songs, that all of it would be worship to you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Make sure that, there we go. Okay. This is going to be a fun one, I think, explaining the impact of Jesus. So in the scheme of what we've been looking at, we have... When I was younger, that wouldn't be a problem, but it's kind of dark in here today. Something I said?
Yep.
Okay. In the scheme of the process that J. Warner Wallace has been going through, he took us through the fuse leading up to the explosion of Jesus coming, all the events that led up to it, and then the explosion, and then the fallout of the explosion, the impact of Jesus. And so we saw some of that last week, and now this week he's going to go into a greater depth in explaining the impact of Jesus on the world. And I think this stuff is fascinating. So this is again from Person of Interest. Sybil, did you get your book?
Yes.
Okay, good. Should have got that to you before. Sorry about that. Jesus showed his followers he was far more than a mere human. One of the things that non-Christians try to claim today is that Jesus never claimed to be God.
He never read the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. But if they can make Jesus not God, they can eliminate from the pressure from them of having to be subservient to a God, and of course they don't want that. He demonstrated this directly and indirectly with his words and his actions. While human prophets spoke for God, Jesus spoke as God. I was reading, J. Warner talked about it in the video, and I was reading some more about it. A scholar that tried to make a case that when Jesus said before Abraham was, I am, that he was not using it in the way that it's always used in scripture of claiming to be God. He was saying, no, he was just saying, I'm around. And I thought, how shallow an impact can some people have in the way they view what God has said? Well, human prophets spoke for God, Jesus spoke as God. Jesus identified himself as otherworldly. Now, to people that are non-Christian, otherworldly could be alien. I thought you were looking at somebody coming in. I hate this door behind me, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
30 years... no, I don't like that. So you start looking. Jesus identified himself as being otherworldly. He's from somewhere else. In fact, he created the box that he stepped into. That to me is the most fantastic part of this. He claimed divine dominion, or domain, I'm sorry, and authority over the angels. That's another remarkable statement that Jesus makes, that he's actually over the angels. Those are his soldiers. Jesus claimed equality with God. Jesus also acted as though he was God. What are some of the examples of Jesus acting as though he was God?
Miracles.
Worship. Yep.
And his judgment on his conversations with the Pharisees.
Yep.
He was calling them out.
What about the one that really drove them crazy? He forgave sins. Yeah. Who forgives sins but God? So when Jesus does those things, it just sets the Pharisees on edge. Jesus accepted this worship consistently as though he was God. We see angels, particularly in the Old Testament, you know, people will bow down, try to worship them, and immediately they pull them up, right? But Jesus never does that because he alone is worthy to accept our worship. Jesus was described as having the power of God, having the power to create, forgive, grant eternal life, judge sin. Finally, according to the eyewitnesses, Jesus rose from the grave. How do you explain that? You can't, other than he's God. Now, there are illustrations in Scripture where other people rise. Just a week, a little more than a week before he rose, what's he do? He raises Lazarus from the dead. But that's God doing something to a dead body. That's not a dead body coming out.
That's why there has to be election. A dead soul cannot understand the word of God.
Right. That's absolutely right. And I don't know why Arminians and so forth can't get that. If the scripture is accurate and says that I'm dead in my trespasses and sins, how is it then I get the paddles, I grease them up, and I put them on my dead body and I shock myself? Because that's what we're saying in a spiritual sense. Have you ever seen that happen?
No, sir.
I've done it, but I've never seen it done by a dead guy. So if scripture is correct in saying that we're dead in our trespasses and sins, apart from God doing something, how are we alive? That's so simple to me in Scripture. I don't get how Arminians and Pelagians and so forth look at it that way. I just don't get it. It makes no sense. Our moral imperfections differentiates and separates us from God, yet he came to us in the person of Jesus to offer
a remedy.
Those of us who recognize the truth about Jesus can accept his offer to reunite us with God. On the cross, Jesus
paid the price
for our moral imperfections. The perfect being who had the power to create, forgive, grant eternal life, and judge sin took the penalty we deserve and exchanged it for the position and status he deserves. Those of us who are willing to trust Jesus, accept the offer of forgiveness, and follow him will be forever reconciled to God. Questions on the intro to the video? Okay, then let's go to the video. This is session 21, investigating the impact of Jesus, explaining the impact of Jesus.
Okay, so now we've looked at the fuse and the fallout of history related to Jesus of Nazareth from the book Person of Interest. And that's really where I want to finish this segment, at least, of our talks. Why would it be that Jesus would fit and fall in that red zone described by the fuse leading up to the first century? Why would it be that Jesus, of all the people who could possibly impact history, that Jesus would have more impact on history and on all the things that matter in history, literature, art, music, education, science, and world religions, than any other person who ever lived? That's a question that I think is worth asking. Why Jesus? What is it about? And what other person in the history of persons has had this kind of impact? Has caused this kind of reaction? Look, if you didn't know anything about the first century and you're wondering, why do we call this the first century? Well, let me just show you everyone else who lived, who was notable. If you just do a search of all the notable historical figures of the first century, here they are from east to west. In every culture of cultures around in the first century, these are the important leaders, authors, poets, religious figures in history in the first century. Look at all of them. You don't even recognize most of these people. But why? Because they didn't impact history in a way that was memorable. But Jesus has more impact on literature, art, music, education, history, science, world religions than any other of these combined. All of these combined. As a matter of fact, here is a list of all of the world leaders of note in the history of like military leaders or national leaders, leaders of regimes. Okay, you can look at these folks. These are people he may have studied in history, but none of these people have had the impact on literature, art, music, education, science, and world religions that Jesus has. Now, there are people here who have had great impact, enough so that you do recognize their names, but you won't find them impacting literature, art, music, education, science, and world religions like Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Areas that you would think would have some impact, like literature, art, music, education, science. No, none of these folks have had that. Here's a list of all the other people who claimed deity or were religious leaders of one nature or another. None of them can be found. You cannot reconstruct the story of these people from literature, art, music, education, science, and history, and world religions the way you can Jesus. Think about that. These are the people on this page, in this list here. These are the people who claim to be the Jewish Messiah. Did you even know that there were a number of other people in the first 13 centuries of the Common Era that claimed to be the Jewish Messiah? Yeah, there are. Here they are by name. And by the way, you don't recognize any of these people either because none of them are the Jewish Messiah. And none of them can be reconstructed from the most important aspects of human culture, even though Jesus can. Jesus, this person who was born in some little nowhere town in the corner of the Roman Empire, then raised in another little nowhere town. These were like just little places that no one has even heard of, right? And he only has, think about it, his public ministry is only 3 years. Those are the 3 years he has to make a mark so that his story can be transmitted over the centuries, right? This is a guy who never even walked or traveled more than about 200 miles from his place of birth to do anything. And this is a guy who, for the most part, the people who thought they knew something, the people who were religious and powerful, they either rejected him or just persecuted him, hunted him. And the people who said they actually liked Jesus, they followed his teaching, they eventually dumped him, they abandoned him. As a matter of fact, they ended up betraying him and denying him. Think about that for a second. And it turns out that he ends up having nothing that you would use in this lifetime, right, to become popular. No Twitter account, no Facebook, no social media, no power of anything like that. He ends up being mocked and falsely accused without any way to defend himself. And he never had the stature of having led a nation or ruled an army or held an office or wrote a book in some way. As a matter of fact, he never had a marriage or a family or children, for example, to extend his legacy. That stuff never happened. Instead, he ends up being completely abused. He suffers a mock trial. He ends up being humiliated and unfairly executed. And when that's all done, they have to borrow a grave to bury him. This is the profile of somebody who should have been forgotten by history, not somebody who should have changed history. The fact that he did change history, that everything about history is dependent on the person of Jesus, and his entire story could be reconstructed from those areas of culture that we typically think are valuable: literature, art, music, education, science, and world religions. that speaks to something. Like, who is this guy? Can you think, for example, of a fictional character that's had this kind of impact? And I hear this all the time. Oh, there's lots of fictional characters that have impact. Of course there are. Luke Skywalker and Peter Pan and, you know, all these different characters. But I'm talking about the kind of deep impact on literature, art, music, education, science, and world religions from which you can reconstruct the entire story of their existence. Good luck with that. If you think you've got a fictional character who's had that kind of impact, the kind of impact of Jesus of Nazareth, tell me who it is. You're not going to find anyone. I'll wait. Don't feel bad, though, because you won't find another living, true historical figure who's had this kind of impact on history. You cannot reconstruct the story or find the impact of George Washington, let's say, or you think of the most important, significant world leader in the history of world leaders. You will not see the impact on literature, art, music, education, science, and world religions that Jesus has. I'll wait. You're not going to find anyone. And I think that this first truth, that there are no fictional character that's had this kind of impact, speaks to the historicity of Jesus. It's reasonable inference he's not a fictional character if you can't think of a fictional character that could possibly have that kind of impact, and you won't be able to find anyone. And on the bottom speaks to his deity, because you're not going to find another living human, regular human mortal who's had this kind of impact. This does speak to his historicity and deity. And I think that makes sense, because he spoke as though he was God. You know, the prophets would say, the Lord Almighty says, the Lord your God says. They'd always preface things by saying, the Lord says. Jesus repeatedly said, I tell you, I say this to you. Verily, verily, I tell you. Truly, truly, I say this to you. The prophets spoke for God. Jesus spoke repeatedly as God. And that always got him in trouble, right? He even said that he was not of this world, that he came from the same place as God, that the things that should belong to God belong to him, like the angels. He even told people that he was equal to God. This, like, again and again, people saw this as blasphemous. As a matter of fact, if you were in the first century and you were a human and someone offered worship to you, they got down on their knees to worship you, that would be blasphemous. There is no God other than God. So when Cornelius meets Peter, for example, and drops on his knees in reverence to Peter, Peter tells him, get up, I'm just a man like you. You don't worship men. And every time that Paul or Peter or anyone in the New Testament, book of Acts, is offered worship, they would reject that and say, get up, I'm just a man like you. But every time that Jesus is offered worship, and he's offered worship over and over and over and over again, he does not tell someone to get up. He accepts the worship of humans. Who does that? He even claimed the great I Am name of God. And you could say, well, he didn't really mean it that way. Well, certainly it seems like the Jews who heard him thought he meant it that way, because the first thing they wanted to do was to stone him for his blasphemy. They seemed to understand what he was saying. And scripture tells us that Jesus, who has the authority to create other than God? Jesus. Who has the authority to forgive sin? This is happens again and again in the Gospels, other than God. Who has the authority to grant eternal life other than God? Who has the authority to judge the living from the dead other than God? And there's the problem, is that Jesus has all that authority and speaks as though he's God, claims the name of God. And that's why he impacts history the way he does, because he's not a person of interest. He's the God of the universe, stepping back into his creation. And he should be of interest to you. I mean, think about this for a second. The three options: he's a myth, or he's just a man, or he's the Messiah. Which of these three makes sense in light of his impact? Only the third. If you're the God of the universe, stepping back into your creation, this is the kind of impact I would expect. And this is the kind of impact we see. This is why, even in a world that rejects the Bible, Jesus still matters. Because as an atheist, I suspect if you were somebody who's not a believer, and if you're talking to somebody who's not a believer, these are the things that probably matter to them. Well, now you know how to start a conversation in any one of these areas, because it turns out that Jesus influenced this more than anyone else. If this stuff matters to you, Jesus ought to matter to you. And it's not that Jesus matters because he influenced the world. Jesus doesn't matter because he influenced the world. Jesus influenced the world because he matters. there's a difference. So I think that this is one of those aspects that that has impact. How shall I say it? Let's put it this way from a Christian perspective. This truth about his impact, about the impact of Jesus, will preach. I think this is that what we're seeing in a culture right now is not so much a question about the godness of God. Does God exist? What are his attributes? It's really about the goodness of God. It's not about whether or not Christianity is true. Is it still beautiful? Does it still matter? Or is it the source of everything ugly? Because let's face it, the teaching of Jesus, the moral teaching of Jesus, is coming under fire, right? This Iron Age book you folks believe in is the source of all misogyny, homophobia, transphobia, racism. You just name a bad in culture, and they'll find a way to try to attach it to Scripture, attach it back to a Christian worldview. Is that even true? No, it turns out that everything that matters, everything that's beautiful about the world, is grounded in the person of Jesus, because he has that kind of impact on literature, art, music, education, science, and world religions. And we have to help people to see that that is the case.
I just love the way that he approaches things. And the way this particular lesson is intriguing to me, because Jesus really is the pivot of history. And we don't often think of it that way, but every day when we give a date, we're referencing the pivot of history. Why did this guy become the pivot of history? What's so special about him? That's a conversation you could have easily with people. You know, why are we in the 21st century when we've had more centuries than that? You know, that's an interesting question to ask somebody and see what they say. This provides so much opportunity, and I just love the way he presents it, because in many ways I think in the same process that he thinks, because we've had the same kind of training and experience. He's had way more homicide experience, obviously, than me, but we're drilled. When you become a detective, you're drilled with thinking through the process, thinking through the elements of the crime that you have to prove, and he's done that with this text, and that just makes it so easy for us to comprehend. That's why he's so in such demand. Okay. He was what? Born in an obscure village, spent only 3 years as a preacher, never traveled more than 200 miles, rejected, hunted, abandoned, persecuted, denied, mocked, falsely accused, never wrote a book, held an office, led an army. I would question that statement, led an army, because he's the leader of the Lord's army. Never led a physical national army, never married, had a family, owned a home, suffered, humiliated, unfairly executed, and then used a borrowed grave. That's a tremendous statement when you think about who Jesus is. It's like that poem that has been out there for a long time, about Jesus.
It kind of goes along.
Exactly.
Expanded and, yeah, amplified.
The profile of somebody who should have been forgotten by history, but or not somebody who should have changed history. When you think about where Jesus came from, born in an obscure village, only 3 years preaching, and so forth. When you think about all of those details, he should be a byword in history, a footnote at best, and yet history pivots on him. That means there's something special about who he is. And even the unsaved world has to admit that. They can't deny it, really. What fictional character had this kind of impact on history? There's none, right? Who can you think of that's a fictional character that would have more impact or the same amount of impact on history than Jesus? I can't think of any. You know, he mentioned a couple of Luke Skywalker. I would have probably said Darth Vader instead of Luke from the Star Wars genre, but still, what kind of impact truly on history has he had? Not much.
Yeah, just pop culture.
Yeah. And so that speaks to the historicity of Jesus, the reality that he really is there, or was there, is there. It speaks to the fact that he really was, is, a character. What other mortal human had this kind of impact on history? Nobody. I would argue maybe with the exception of Adam. Because Adam plunged the entire universe into entropy and sin and so forth. So that's a pretty large impact. And then the inverse of that would be Jesus in providing redemption, the potential for redemption. So if I were challenged on that question, I would say I would probably come up with Adam as a mortal human. Although when he sinned, he wasn't mortal.
I would have added Abraham.
Abraham?
We're in the mess we are in because of Abraham between the Jews and the Muslims.
Well, Abraham wasn't Muslim.
I know, but three religions claim him.
Right.
If he wouldn't have done what he did, we wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, I see your point. Yeah, he's an impactful guy. Yeah, for sure. But you know, Lot is to blame, and a lot of others are to blame for the tribal situation in the Mideast that has resulted in what we have. Not just Abraham. Not all Muslims are descendants of Abraham either.
Oh no.
No. What's the craziest group of Muslims in the world? Persians. That's who's going to cause us the most problem. Persians. Iran. They're not descendants of Abraham. They will hurt you if you tell them that. Yeah, they're an entire... I guess I would have to go back to the Table of Nations to look to see where Persians come from, but they're not from the same line as Abraham. Yeah, but they're Muslim. They're what kind of Muslims?
Shia.
And most of the others are Sunni. And they believe they can bring upon the world the seventh imam, which is roughly equivalent to the Messiah, by their destruction of other things. So they can hasten the timetable. That's why that's what makes Iran so dangerous. Them with a nuclear bomb is catastrophic to world security. Because they think they can bring upon their savior by nuking somebody. And if it's got Jews and Americans in it, so much better. And so that causes me some consternation. Those guys are bat crazy. So the Sunni Shia is Iran. I don't know why that just never works in my mind. The Sunni are a little more logical. They're just as destructive in their anti-Christian and anti-Jewish tendencies, but they're not as crazy. Is that a fair assessment, having been there?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, the Sunnis are a little more peaceful.
Yeah, well, I don't know that I'd say peaceful. Maybe less crazy? Yeah.
They're not as emotional, I would say.
Yeah.
That's, I think.
But they do train their kids to grow up to be martyrs. Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, think about that, moms. Which mom would want their kid to grow up to die? So that's a big deal for Islam. So at a very young age, that's why we don't understand what's going on in Gaza. So many of the moms are training their kids to be martyrs at young ages. At Harper's age, they're training them to already be willing to die to kill Jews and Americans. That's a concept we don't get. But that's in their religious system, that's important to them.
The infidel.
Yeah, kill the infidel.
Indeed, with Rashida Tlaib, her grandma kind of trained her that. She brings her up all the time.
Yeah, yeah. There's some nutballs out there. And Iran getting the nuke scares me. Okay. What other mortal human had this kind of impact on history? I don't know of any. Speaks to the deity of Jesus. It's not that Jesus matters because... I missed one. It's not that Jesus matters because he influenced the world. Jesus influenced the world because he matters. We're not looking at all of this because Jesus was there. Jesus impacted the world because of who he is. He impacted, everything pivots on Jesus because of who he is. He's the creator of the box that he stepped into. That to me is one of the most fantastic conundrums of my understanding. Is how can the guy that creates the box and maintains the box step into the box and then become limited by the box? And that's who Jesus is. He influenced the world because he matters, because he's something different than everyone else. No one else has the power, the history, the ability, the knowledge, whatever attribute you want of God. They're all there in who Jesus is. Questions or comments on that? Next week we begin to go into how we bring into an application of what we've been learning. Establishing a first responder model. How do you then have the conversation? You've now had 21 weeks of teaching on the conversation. Now, how do you establish that conversation? And it's an interesting one as well. And that comes from Forensic Faith. So make sure everybody has the book Forensic Faith. That's one of the four that you got initially, so you should have it. Questions, comments on all of this? Come on, you got to have some questions or comments. Okay, then let's eat cookies and drink coffee. Thank you, Father, for men like J. Warner Wallace and his experience, his insight. Thank you that you have led him to write these books and to approach apologetics from the avenue that he does. And that others have poured into him and helped develop him so that he's a well-rounded theologian and scholar, as well as a guy that can explain it pretty simply. Thank you for that. Thank you for this group that is gathered together here in Fort Myers and around the world, whoever's watching, that they have the opportunity to also learn and grow. We pray for the folks up in the Big Bend area that you would protect them and watch over them as the storm continues to go. Thank you, Father, for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for watching or listening to this teaching on demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. Please consider sending us an email at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com to let us know how this teaching may have helped you. Please also consider joining us in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church, located at 10251 Metro Parkway, Suite 116, Fort Myers, Florida, just south of the intersection of Metro and Colonial Boulevard. Sunday school begins at 9 and worship service at 10 a.m. We look forward to seeing you in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church.